All right, here we are. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
guys. Hi, John.
Welcome to our first Educators Grow podcast. Super excited about starting this. Very psyched about the idea, something I've been wanting to do for a while. So I just finally took the jump and starting it. So I'll just start by introducing myself. My name is John Wozzeck, elementary principal in Oak Lawn, Illinois. And as I said, our first Educators Grow podcast, and super excited about our two guests today. I was thinking about you guys on the drive over here today, because when I think about people that I've met or people that I've connected with through social media and Twitter, some of them as far away as Australia, some of them in other countries or other states, but you guys I actually connected with on social media, and we were in the same district.
Yeah.
I remember seeing your guys' names, but never really knew you guys. I know that we had you guys started the District 122 chat that we'll talk about, but yeah, we never really met in person until I was kind of on the way out.
Right.
I remember like when I first, I would always see you on Twitter, and I heard stories about you from being in the district, and then I saw you at the ICE conference. I'm like, there's that one John guy, you know, he's like way cooler than me. I can't go talk to him, but
yeah, I don't know about that, but thank you.
Like middle school kid. You know, can't go talk to the popular table, can't like go and meet with you. But it was a really cool experience to get to talk to you face to face and just get to brainstorm, you know, for those final months that you were with us here in District 122. And, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, that you're still close enough by. We're like a mile and a half apart. So to be able to reach out and partner with you now that you're at in 123 has been a real blessing for us here.
Yeah, I know I've said a few times, but I'm to stop in one day and just say hi and see what you guys, I know that new space you guys have is pretty awesome. So yeah.
I got to be there all day today. It was pretty sweet.
Cool. Well, before we get into the questions, how about you guys introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Megan Hikulski, eighth grade science at Simmons. It's where I've been since I student taught. So it's kind of home to me right now. I know you said we're going to talk about the Ed Chat later, but that's one of my big wins for the last year is starting 122 Ed Chat. Even though I'm a science teacher, very much involved in the tech world, presenting with Mike at conferences. So yeah, it's been a crazy year of all that new stuff, but it's good. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Michael Abramchek. I'm the STEM facilitator for creative learning systems here at Simmons Middle School. So I like tell people, you know, it's kind of like working or hanging out at Disney every day. There's always like fun, crazy stuff happening. And we get to have a good time every single day. And it's like the biggest shift for me this year is not having to, you know, have all the answers for all the student questions. It's very student-led, student-driven, student-centered, which is different than the last 17 years of my career. So it was a major shift of, you know, mindset for me, and just going and asking questions. So why do you think this is, or what do you think about that? Or what, how are you going to resolve this issue? And like seeing the kids kind of connect with their own ability to solve problems. Because we've trained them for so many years to rely on us to answer the questions and to bail them out. But they need to realize the, you know, what they have inside of them is far better than a lot of times what we can offer. And when they get connected with the goodness that they have inside of them, and they're able to kind of untangle those knots for themselves, it's so fun to see them light up, and they call me over and they're like, you got to see this. You're not going to believe what happened. Megan gets to see that with her STEM group. And, you know, I like I said, I have a good fortune of partnering with all the other science teachers in the building and working with Kelly Williams, who maintains the digital media arts side of the lab for Smart Lab, creative learning systems.
All right. Well, sounds good. I think that's a great segue into our first question that we have here. So first question again, Educators Grow, the podcast is going to be a lot about reflection, how we as educators are growing through our positions. In three words or less, describe yourself in your first year of teaching, and then in three words or less, describe yourself now.
So this one was like way too easy for me when I think about my first year of teaching, because I would go with timid, guarded, and methodical. I like just wanted to stay in my own little bubble. I was terrified to talk to anybody, and I wanted everything to be exactly as I planned. I wanted to follow all the rules. I didn't want to make any waves, and that pretty much lasted for 1 year, and that was it, because then Mike and I started working in drama together, and he totally like knocked me off the rails, which I appreciate, and it's a good thing.
Can't so be now, working with him, huh?
Well, I'm sorry?
Can't be really timid working with him.
Oh, God, no, no, not at all. It's still a good balance. I mean, I have my moments, but now I feel like my three words would be, I would like to say fearless. I think I'm getting there. Creative. And I had a hard time coming up with a third one. I got my notes here in front of me, but I feel like loving has to be the last one, because if anything has changed in the last or grown, I should say, over the last 6 years for me, it's that I spend so much more time building relationships with my kids now. And that's my main focus when I walk into that building, making sure the kids are okay, emotionally and physically and mentally, before I'm going to teach them anything, because we can't teach them anything if we don't start with that. So that's been a big shift for me. And I think even becoming a mom, you know, my son will be 2 in June, and that even intensified it more. And I'm sure, John, now you know how that feels. It totally shifts your perspective.
All right.
I couldn't agree more with you, Megan. You know, just I've seen so much change, you know, since I got married and, you know, became a dad. It definitely changes your approach to the people that you're working with, because you would just imagine like that's somebody else's kid. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to wrap your brain around that unless you're a parent, unless you're a dad, unless you're a mom. And, you know, you learn to love the kids differently than you do before you're married or before you have your own children. So my three words, and I told Megan in the hallway, and she's like, "Oh God, don't say that." my first three words to describe my first year was raging dumpster fire. And yeah, I was a little out of control, and I thought, like, you know, like just like looking back, it's like I thought I had all the you know, the right answers, and I thought I had all the greatest ideas, and, you know, walking out of college, working in a Western Illinois, we had a different approach to, you know, getting access to classrooms. They started us early, and it's kind of like how education is taking place now. Instead of sitting in a lecture hall, you go out to the classroom, you go out to the field. We were doing that like before a lot of other places were. So you go in with a lot of like confidence and like, "Oh, I can do this, and I know better, and I've got all these great ideas." And one of the things I really struggled with was just kind of not listening to the older people that were around me, the veterans, and taking in what they had to share. Yeah, it was different than what I had learned. However, they've been through the battles. They fought, you know, day in, day out in the trenches. And I needed to really kind of embrace what they were sharing, what they were saying. And I didn't really do a good job of that early on. And I made a lot of mistakes and you know, took a lot of L's, as the kids would say. Yeah, I'm thankful that, you know, like over time, you know, I've gotten smarter and better. You know, a couple years back, and Megan, you would this will probably bring back some memories, like back in the day when we were running Little Mermaid, we had like our casts, like our fish and chips were our two casts. Yeah. We had a t-shirt that was like hashtag fish and chips. And one of the kids said, you know, if they had like three words to describe me, it would be loud and bald. So no, but really you asked like, where are we at now? Like what three words would describe us now? And for me, I really feel like the three words that describe me are, you know, what they'll be forever until the day that I die, work in progress. I mean, I'm always growing, always changing, always trying to get better and better at what I do. We were kind of talking about, you know, just like professional development, doing chats and stuff like that last night, like in a chat, in Phil's chat, Wallet chat, about like, you know, why wouldn't we do this? Why wouldn't we be out there? Why wouldn't we be chasing this? We've got 750 people that are depending on us tomorrow to be our very best. So why wouldn't we be, you know, taking time to grow as leaders the night before to improve that product that we're offering to our students? So, I mean, I think that's just, it's so key. It's always a work that's in progress. It's never going to be complete. It's never going to be finalized until we take our last breath.
And it never, it's something that I try to reflect on a lot, just how important our jobs are. You know, how, I mean, we are literally entrusted in helping build these students up, not just academically, but also, like you guys mentioned, like socially and emotionally. You know, I think it's always really important for us to kind of reflect on just how incredible of an influence that we can have every day. Just interesting. It's because if I was to use my three words, I would kind of have a little bit of Megan's, a little bit of Mike's too, because I was very shy and timid. Mm-hmm. But I thought I knew everything, and I just didn't really want, I just didn't feel like it was my place to share. I really just thought I just knew everything. I'm like this finished product. You learn pretty quickly you're not. You learn really quickly you're not, especially if you try to be aware of it, you learn really quickly. And, you know, it's one of those things. I think it might have been like maybe the first test I gave, and all the scores came back, and, you know, it was one of those things, you know, well, what did the kids do here? But then I think it was really good thinking, well, you know, maybe I kind of messed up on some things. So, well, awesome. We talked about it a little bit, but moving on to question number two, what's something, if you could pick out like one thing that you feel like you've made great improvements on since you've been in education, what would you say that one thing would be?
I feel like for me, one of the things is definitely like flexibility when it comes to lesson planning and kind of living in those teachable moments that especially in middle school feel like they're, you know, they come by so often. I, like I said before, was so tied down to my plans. I would have like 2 weeks worth of copies made, and those copies were getting used whether we were ready for them or not. And that was such a horrible way to be. I kind of learned that flexibility in my student teaching, but then went back to that rigid schedule my first year. And now I'm just so much more comfortable teaching kind of off the cuff and taking those moments for what they are and being okay with that and feeling like I can still be an authority figure, even though I'm going to let the kids kind of direct where the lesson needs to go. Cause it's not about me. It's about those kids in the room. So,
and that's I think that's one of those lessons that, I feel like a lot of us probably have had. I feel like that really is one of those things that just kind of comes with time.
Right.
Mike, what about you?
My biggest area of growth, I feel like, is ability to listen. Again, you know, I learned that early on being married, that you have to listen to what people are saying and what people are not saying. You have to be able to read their nonverbal cues and, you know, kind of like read between the lines. And working in a middle school, you got kids that are coming in, you know, with a whole bag load of issues and problems, and they're not going to be open and honest, but they want to tell you. So you kind of have to read, you know, what they're saying without them saying it and ask the right questions. And, you know, like taking time to like slow down enough to hear what the students are saying, hear what your colleagues are saying too. I mean, they're in the same boat, you know, as us. We're, you know, all to quote Megan's favorite song, we're all in this together.
We are.
we need to make sure that we're looking out for each other and, you know, asking questions about like non-school related stuff and showing interest in what they're interested in. I feel like they're kind of generic answers, but we're at such a crucial moment here in society where things are just kind of going haywire. We need to really make sure that we're attending to people's, you know, emotional well-being and their needs and making sure they're heard as well as seen. So that's one of the things that I've really, really have feel like I've really grown up in, and I'm thankful for, you know, just the opportunity to be a husband and be a dad and be able to bring all those components here into school, you know, every single day. And continue to work on those skills every chance I get when I'm here at school and at home too.
Yeah, and when you were talking just now about, you know, those relationships and getting to understand other people, I used to be a middle school teacher too, and that was such a daunting task with so many students in the course of a day. And even now, you know, being with all the students in the school, or whether it even be a classroom of 30, that's still just a daunting task. But we all had the joy of having a collaborative institute day early in the year. And Maui Asagatum, I don't know if I said that name, I apologize if I did. That thing that stuck with me the most, and so many people have said it, is just like that 2 minutes a day, just that 2 minutes of like really building a relationship with somebody. I feel as though that took so much of the intimidation factor off, and you know, just knowing stuff about your students, knowing things about them. I asked a student the other day, oh, how's your little brother doing? Because she had a little brother was born a month ago, and she couldn't believe that I remembered that. Just, you know, those little things I think are just really important. So yeah, relationships, right?
Yeah. John, I've seen, you know, just like kids, they light up in the hallway. Like when you remember their name, like there's a guy that always is astonished that I know who he is. It's like, why wouldn't I know who you are? You're a student in the school. You're important to me. And he's like, wow, that's so cool. Or kids, like we've been doing this foster kindness challenge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the teachers had students like write thank you letters to the staff. And, you know, the kids, they go back, they really value, they really see like these little things that we kind of take for granted, you know, stopping and having a conversation, like a quick 2 minute conversation, it means the world to them. But so often we're so busy trying to get from point to point that we forget to slow down to, you know, ask them about what they're interested, ask them about what they're doing on the weekends. I mean, it shows up in the long run. It really has a huge impact on them, and it really means a lot to them. I remember at the beginning of the year, our assistant principal, Derek Simpson, said, "Hey, I'm gonna have you stand out in the hallway since your classroom is adjacent to, you know, a common area. I want you to stand out in the hallway." And I was kind of like, "Oh, I could be getting ready for the next class." And then I like took a step back and I was like, "Wait, no, this is a good opportunity to really work on listening. Great opportunity to develop those relationships." So I get to stand in my little blue square and I get to say hello to everybody and encourage everybody and thank them for being here and asking them questions about, you know, what makes them special, what makes them unique. So it's something that I, like at the beginning of the year, like I said, was something that was kind of like a daunting task, but you know, every day, that's what I look forward to. That's how I get to start my day. That's how I get to finish my day. And then throughout the day, I get to sneak out there in the hallway and just say hi to people and talk to them. It's such a, you know, such a great treat. It kind of breaks up the here's the class, here's the next class, here's the next class. So definitely find ways to do that if you can.
Yeah, I saw somebody actually tweet yesterday about how they looked at, you know, that time where they're patrolling the students, whether it be, you know, a door duty or something like that, as a difficult time. But then, you know, those are such important times when you can be building those relationships. I thought it was a really good, I didn't word it properly, but just, you know, using those opportunities, all those different times that we can to build those relationships. And also, you mentioned something about an essay contest, and I thought I saw you guys in a little news story about that. Was that the same one?
Recently?
Yeah, well, I don't know how recent it was, but there was something at Barnes & Noble that I saw you guys on. I wasn't sure if that was what you were referencing or not.
Oh God, yeah. It's something that Mike and I tried to keep on the DL only because it was like, it was such a cool thing. We were honored, but we were like kind of embarrassed too. Like, who are we to deserve this? But one of our former drama students who was how old when she wrote it? A sophomore or junior in high school?
Yeah, I think she's a junior.
Yeah, so she entered a contest at Barnes & Noble where she had to write about her favorite teacher. And it's a national contest, and she wrote about Mike and I together and the impact that we had on her through the drama program. And it was such a cool thing to be with her and have her read that, you know, out loud with us there at this little reception that they had. But still, it's even hard to talk about now because I just feel like this is just my job. This is what I'm supposed to do every day. It's nothing special.
This
but it's special to her. So,
right, this is what you're paying us to do, and this is what we naturally do. So, why are you clapping for me? Why are you patting me on the back for that? Because I love kids, and Megan does too, and we want these kids to be the best they can be. And you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's just like we got to do a better job of like embracing that and celebrating with them. But it's difficult for us because we look at it as it's just part of our job.
Right.
It's what we do. Like firefighters, they put out fires, and and police officers get the bad guys. And that's just what they do. Teachers, they're there to empower the next generation and love these kids that are in front of them, whether they look like them or not, or believe the same things that they believe. I mean, we're here to help them be functional members of society down the road, and to just encourage them. And they just, yeah, it look as part of our job. So
very humbling though. But yeah, I came across that and I had to ask about it. I had to, no, even hearing a little bit more about it, I feel like it's even more impressive. So, you know, I know that you guys just maybe a little bit embarrassed by it, but I just thought it was awesome. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We didn't even tell our principal right away.
Oh, okay.
We got in trouble for that.
She's like, I need to know about this stuff. And Tracy's such a nice, nice woman and great principal, but she was like really, really annoyed. She's like, I cannot believe that you went to this thing and didn't tell us. But like I said, both of us were just like, just kind of astonished that anybody would go through that trouble to talk about what we do, because it's just, we're just doing our job.
Well, impressive. Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So one of the things we tell our students over and over, you know, just try things out, make mistakes. Mistakes aren't bad as long as we learn from them. Will you guys be willing to share maybe a mistake or something that you've done that, you know, maybe failed, and what you learned from that?
So when I was reading this question, at first I thought maybe I should talk about mistakes that I made in the classroom, but I feel like in a science classroom, like, things are always going wrong, and that's where that flexibility comes in. But if I'm thinking kind of bigger picture, going back to that area of improvement, I think the mistake that I made and sometimes still make is not speaking my mind when I should, or you know, keeping my mouth shut about things that I really care about and have strong opinions about, not because I'm afraid or think I'm going to offend anybody, but more because I don't feel like I have anything to offer other colleagues, not talking about students, but other teachers. I feel like, kind of with this essay contest, like, who am I to tell somebody else what to do or how to think or how to teach? I just have, you know, that lack of confidence still. And doing conference presentations is helping, but you know, still you get up in front of a room of teachers and you just feel like, who am I to tell you what to do? So that's, you know, I know it's not necessarily a mistake, but it's definitely something that, it's a mistake to feel that way. I think as a teacher, you should never feel like you have nothing to offer, because we all have things that we can teach each other, whether it's something that, you know, you're going to teach someone to do or not to do. And yeah, that's something that I hope that the kids are seeing. And I know I'm jumping into your next question, but I hope that they're seeing from me and learning to be better than I am, because I think that's all we want to teach our kids at the end of the day, be better than us.
Absolutely. Right. Mike, have you ever made any mistakes or
all the time. I'm a professional mistake maker. I'm good at like screwing things up. But yeah, I think the area that, like, just what I say, you know, everybody like talks about like, oh wow, you know, you can be like professional speaker, you can like go motivate people and everything, and it's like, but if you heard like everything that comes out of my mouth, if you heard everything that I said all the time, you'd look and be like, oh my gosh, like, Megan's really good about like kind of like reeling me back in when I get way, you know, way out ahead of myself. And, you know, there's things like my wife will tell me, she's like, you can't say that. You can't talk like that. You can't, you know, say that to the kids. So like, that's the area that I really, you know, like it's something that comes easy to be able to talk, but like monitoring what you're saying and just like taking, like choosing your words carefully is something that, you know, is definitely something I struggle with at times. Mm-hmm. And what I think might be really good, what I think might be really beneficial, may end up doing more damage to the people that, you know, that I'm speaking to, or I'm sharing with, or it might get miscommunicated or misinterpreted. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's just an area that, you know, like, our words, they have so much power. They can make somebody's day, or they can completely bring it down and destroy it. So we have to be very careful, you know, what we're saying, especially, you know, in leadership, as a teacher, or in your case, as a principal, you know, to communication, like how am I like, what am I presenting, you know, to the people that are in my audience. I had a situation yesterday where I was talking to one of our kids, and the student went home and relayed the story a little differently than I intended, you know, like my message to be received. So I was getting ready to leave and I checked my phone and I'm like, oh shoot, I got a parent email. I got to handle this. It's like 6 at night. My wife's calling me on the phone. She's like, where are you at? You know, I need you to cook dinner and all this other stuff. And I'm like, well, I gotta handle this parent email. I gotta put this situation to rest. And here I am, like 18 years in, and still struggling with what comes out of my mouth when I'm talking to students, when I'm talking to parents, when I'm talking to my own kids, when I'm talking to my wife. You know, I still get it wrong more than I get it right. So that's definitely an area that, you know, I really need to, you know, get better at.
For me, I think one of the biggest things, going off of kind of that and area of improvement, was kind of knowing that a lot of the things you're saying are not always just with your words. Maybe sometimes with your face, your actions. Yeah. Something that I definitely learned a lot when I was a younger teacher. Megan, you can add more to it, but I know that she kind of already talked a little bit about, you know, instilling that growth mindset in your students. So, Mike, if you want to kind of answer that one a little bit, or if anything you want to add on that one, Megan?
I mean, like I said, I try and always share, you know, my mistakes, my failures, my fears with kids. There's just no point in pretending that we're perfect in front of them. And I think that is something that a lot of first year teachers start with, that mindset that I have to be perfect and that was totally me. And the sooner that you can get rid of that, the better, because especially with middle school, I mean, I've never taught the little ones, but I know my sixth graders that I had, I know my eighth graders now, they respond so much better if I'm just honest with them every day. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I need from you. This is what went wrong for me today. So I need you guys to help me out. It's just so much better. And you know, when it comes to, you know, personal feelings, as far as not feeling your best that day, I've shared this with Mike before. We mean so much more to these kids than I think we sometimes realize. You know, they mean a lot to us, but we mean a lot to them, and we forget about that. And they care so much about how we feel every day that if you're willing to open up a little bit more and share with them within boundaries, of course, they're gonna, you know, do anything for you.
Yeah.
It's such a cool thing. That's why I don't know that I could ever teach anything but eighth grade, because I love this age so much. Yeah. It's just the coolest group of kids. Share everything with them.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Megan. It's all about being transparent. I mean, these kids are looking for, you know, someone that they can trust, someone that they can relate to. And if we come across and act like we're perfect, we come across like we've got all the answers, we don't make mistakes, they're going to be, it doesn't make sense. But I feel like they're going to be more, you know, more guarded, more ill at ease. If we put on, put on a front, we need to be, you know, just be real with these kids. And show them that we don't have all the answers. Show them that we're not perfect. Show them that we fail. Talk about, like, you know, stuff that's going on outside of school, and just give them a window into who we are as people. We're not robots. We don't live at the school. And honestly, I mean, this making this move to Simmons, to middle school, you know, was one of probably the best decisions. I'm thankful that Sherry Maher, our curriculum director, you know, called me into her office and said, hey, I got an opportunity for you. And I tell everybody this, I like shut it down right away. I was like, no way, I'm not doing this. This is terrible. And the more I thought about it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is a great opportunity. And honestly, I've never looked back and thought, oh, I wish I was doing something different. This is, it's such a great place to work. And middle school kids are like the hidden gems. Mm-hmm. Most people miss that opportunity to connect with them. And when I talk to adults that are dealing with their middle school kids, or just random people that find out I work in a middle school, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. How do you manage? It's like, you miss the opportunity because they're awkward and they smell weird and they do crazy things. But this is the moment, like the final moment while the cement's still wet, where you can have an impact. This is the moment where, you know, they want to look tough, but they're really listening. Their hearts are, you know, just open and ready for you to kind of write, you know, right on their hearts. And too often adults will, or even parents too, will kind of put them off and let them go to their room and hang out and be in isolation. And then when they get into high school, they say, okay, well, now I can relate to you because you're an adult. And they've missed that moment. They've missed their mark. They've missed the chance to have an impact. And I feel like we're very fortunate to be able to speak into the lives of these kids and you know, have influence and have impact and push beyond the awkwardness to really make some connections and, you know, bring about change and trying to encourage other people, parents and other adults alike, not to run away during these 3 years, but to press in and push beyond the awkwardness to, you know, to get to know these kids and see the value and not just make a judgment based on what you see in the mall or what you see, you know, when you see them walking down the street or at the park. Get to know them. They've got personality and they've got some great ideas and they're the ones that are going to change the world.
I was in a middle school for 7 years and I think about that a lot. And yeah, everybody had the same reaction when I told them I was in a middle school, like, oh my gosh, there's a special place for you. And like, mm-hmm. Man, guys, you know, I think like one of the fallacies when we looked at that was, you know, we kind of look at them as like finished products when that is, couldn't be any further from the truth.
Right.
All right. So what's something educational related that maybe you don't know much about or something you really want to improve on?
So for me, it's the behind the scenes of being an administrator. I know that's probably a little bit different than the answers you were looking for, but it's just something that I've taken on so many different leadership roles and positions and different projects in the building in the last few years. And I really think that is eventually where I want to be. And I've worked with our administrators enough that I see a little bit of what they do on a daily basis, but I know it's not even scratching the surface. So that's just something that I'm really interested in learning more about before I make that jump to go back to school. And I'm definitely not ready to leave my classroom yet and leave the kids, but that's what I would like to learn for sure.
Absolutely. All right. So last question. If you had one wish for schools, to be crazy, no monetary restrictions, just you snap your fingers and that change is made, what would it be?
100%. It would be that the schools could somehow be open all the time with people there so that those kids who, this has been huge this year, the kids who don't want to go home at the end of the day and aren't happy when the bell rings at 2:45 and need to be at school because that's the only good place in their lives. I wish that somehow we could just be there for them all the time. And I know that there's no way that could ever be realistic because even if you bring in another group of teachers, it's not going to be the teachers they connected with. But I said to somebody the other day about one of our students, I wish I could just be there with him without going into the specifics. I said, I just wish I could be there with him because I know that he needs me. And this person was kind of shocked that I said that and can't believe that you would do that. Well, why wouldn't I do that for somebody? So that would for sure be my wish, is that we could just be open all the time for those kids that need it.
I remember my first year, it was the Friday of winter break. Mm-hmm. And it was 3:20 dismissal. All the kids had run out the door. It was my first year. I'm just like ready to go home and relax. And this one student asked me, they're like, Mr. Wazza, can I hang out for a little while? And my face, I don't know what my face really said. Uh-huh. I was definitely thinking like, okay, guys, I gotta go. It's winter break, but they just wanted to like hang out and we were there for about 45 minutes. And about halfway through, I just kind of started appreciating and understanding it. So, yeah, that just wanting to be there for them.
Yep.
So, Mike, question for you: if you had one wish for schools, as crazy as it might be, no monetary restrictions or anything, you just snap your fingers, that change is made. What would it be?
I'm gonna do my best not to cry. Because it's been Yeah, I mean, you put on the news and, you know, it's all over the place. I mean, this should be a safe place. We're very fortunate to have good security in place. We've got action plans, but I feel like the whole concept that our kids come to school and they wonder, you know, am I going to be okay? Am I going to be safe? Not just at this school, but schools across the country, throughout the world. Kids should not have to be worrying about, am I going to be okay? Am I going to go home, be able to go home and see my family tonight? I don't know. It really gets at my heart. I don't think about me, you know, so much, but more so being a dad, you know, my kid's going to be okay. Are the kids that I'm responsible for, are they going to be okay? You know, and you know, it's like, you can't get away from it. It's like, it's always there. It's always right in your face. And I mean, there's not any other profession other than, like, a public safety officer or a soldier where you have to worry about your life being at risk. And we're asking our students, we're asking our kids, you know, to put themselves out there and possibly be vulnerable. And that's not, I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's like, I wish that they didn't have to think about that. I wish they didn't have to worry about that. I wish they can just, I could just snap my fingers and be like, hey, guess what? When you're here, no one can touch you. No one can get you. And for the next 6 to 8 hours, whatever time that, you know, that you're here with us, it's going to be the best 6 to 8 hours of your life. And you're going to get the most out of that. I mean, it's just, it's tough. I wish they didn't have to deal with that. I wish they didn't have that hanging over their heads, and come face to face with that every day. It's just, it's tough.
Well, you know, just talking to you guys, I mean, not just internally or self-improvement, but I mean, it's just so obvious. And I know this because I know you guys, just how much you guys care about your students, their physical well-being, you know, their emotional well-being, educationally. I think it's just obvious to myself and hopefully to everybody else listening just how much you guys care about your students. Before we wrap up, though, I know that I said it earlier in the podcast, but you guys started a chat. Would you guys like to share anything about that chat with everybody?
It's really awesome.
It is awesome. So we run...
Why is it 122?
What?
Why is it 122?
Oh, why is it? You want me to, okay. So
tell them the truth, Megan.
Tell them
the truth. Well,
otherwise, you'll expose me, right?
Expose! So,
122 Ed Chat started in room 122, which is my classroom. And I literally was Googling, how do you start an Ed Chat? And Mike walked in and caught me and said, you just do it. And then we were in the principal's office the same day. And April 20th, 2017, we had our first chat. So we're almost at a year. We're having a big anniversary chat. We have a very special guest for that one, but we're running every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, half an hour. We got different hosts every week. We are booked on hosts through all of 2018, right? And we got people on board already for next year. So it has grown exponentially, way beyond what we could have ever imagined. You know, we thought it was just going to be this chat that we ran in-house in the district, and it's blown up. So Mike, I'm sure you have a lot more to say about it.
Okay. I was just going to say, when I was searching it the other day, and it shows you how many tweets there are in relation or with that hashtag. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I think it was almost up to 1,000. So yeah, it, like you said, it's blown up. I mean, I remember the first one.
There. Awesome.
It's definitely kind of taken on a life of its own. We've got people that are like reaching out to us that want to host. We had Ryan Sheehy hosting last Wednesday night. Like upcoming, I want to say in April, we've got Roman Nowak from up in Canada, who's, you know, just an amazing guy on Twitter, you know, just talking about being positive and fostering kindness. We've got some other great hosts in April that we'll share with you later. Cameron Carter, Mike Drizek, you know, there's plenty of people. And I think you're coming back in May. to host for us at the beginning of May, which is going to be fantastic. But the one little funny side note about this whole like the two, like Megan wanted to start an ed chat, and I had like another thing, like it kind of ties together real well. I was kind of had a moment where I was like, man, you know, like I feel like we've got so much to offer, and we got to find a way to kind of get that message, you know, out. I feel like what we're doing here in our building, in our classroom, you know, there's got to be a better way to promote that. And so, like, I was like that same day, I was at my desk, I was looking at like how to become verified on Twitter, and I had like 100 followers. It was like the stupidest thing. So I sent this like email to Twitter, and I'm like, yeah, I think you should verify me on Twitter. And I have like, I literally had like 140 followers. It was like nobody. And they like quickly responded to it immediately. They were like, no, you're not verified. And then I went and talked to her, and she was like, how do we start an EdChat? And so like, it kind of like went off from there. But yeah, it's been an amazing ride. And there's so many amazing people that we've had the good fortune of connecting with. And we've become better teachers because of all these other voices, all these other people that, you know, that we may never ever meet in real life. We may never ever see face to face, but the impact that they've had on our lives, and as a result on our students' lives and our families' lives, is incredible. And all this is, you know, when we were talking about it at ICE, all this is free of charge. You're doing it on your own. You're doing it from the comfort of your own house. You're not paying any money to participate in this. You're just giving up 30, 45 minutes, an hour, a couple hours over the course of a night to become a better educator, to become a better teacher. And it's, I wouldn't have it any other way. And and I think our school is a better place because of, you know, just being able to participate in 122 Ed Chat and other Ed Chats throughout the week that, you know, just have really grown us as educators and grown us up as well as leaders.
Phenomenal learning. All right. Well, Ara, thank you guys very much. Our first episode of Educators Grow podcast, and I couldn't ask for two greater guests. So the dynamic duo right here, just want to say thank you again. And it's Friday here, so hopefully you guys have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Right, bye, guys.
Thank you, John. It's been a total honor. We appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks. Bye.